This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Come on, man. Let's get a turnover.
Picked off! Rayshon Jenkins, have a day!
The Rich Eisen Show.
I find it very offensive if I'm thinking about having the job. I need to be doing my job.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Colleen Wolfe. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Ronde Barber. NFL Daily Podcast host, Greg Rosenthal. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes. And now, Colleen Wolfe.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome into the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Colleen Wolfe. Having a blast here on this lovely day. This is a great morning. It's a great morning for a lot of teams and a lot of fans in the NFL. If you are a fan of the Broncos, the Bears, the Patriots, four-game winning streaks. The Chiefs seem to be back. They shot the Raiders into the sun yesterday, 31 to nothing. Yep. The Rams are looking good. Matthew Stafford as good as ever. We're going to ask our next guest about those Rams and Matthew Stafford, among many other things, as we welcome in one of my absolute favorites in the world, Mina Kimes. She does such a great job on ESPN. You know her, you love her, and she joins us live. Oh, and she's all glammed up as well. Hello, Mina.
Hey, yeah, speaking of glamorous, I think I'm in like an alley behind Ford Field somewhere. That's where we got the
expect buses. Nothing
so
less.
I promised a better view. I was like, yeah, I want to be at the field. It's going to be great. And I'm actually like not really up here right now, but that's okay. I'm here.
So she's in Detroit. She's in a Detroit alley right now, and it's never been more glamorous before in her life. This is a huge day for Mina Kimes. Obviously, the Bucks and the Lions are playing tonight on Monday Night Football, game one of the doubleheader. But game seven is happening as well. And Mina, a famous Seattle fan, she loves the Mariners. I just need to know, like, where are your mentals right now, Mina?
I'm so glad that I'm going to be on TV for 2 hours because I legitimately don't know what to do with myself until the game begins. I'm like just in a constant, like my stomach is, I don't know, somewhere outside of my body. I'm so nervous. And I guess like to give a little bit of context there, you know, the Mariners are my first love. I grew up going to games at the Kingdom. My favorite athlete of all time is Edgar Martinez. And this team has been an absolute joy to watch. But it all comes down to this, as I'm sure everybody knows, we've never made it to the World Series. And for it all to come down to one game is just, it's too much to bear, to be honest. I can barely think about it.
Oh my gosh, I feel like there's nothing better or, on the other side, worse than a game seven for a chance to go to the World Series. Like, it's almost like the conference championships in the NFL. I feel like when those games are played, NFC championship, AFC championship, played at home in front of the home fans, for that punch their ticket to the Super Bowl, those games just have such a different energy than like the game at the Super Bowl, if you're at the Super Bowl, because it's just not nearly the same. And I feel like a game seven is maybe one of the best sporting events in the entire world. I could argue that. I'm so sorry, Mina. You look very nervous.
No, I'm literally on the verge of throwing up just thinking about it. But there's also like both Monday night games are happening. So it's going to be an insane sports night. I mean, the Seahawks look great. Obviously, we're not there. Dan Orlovsky, who's with us, is calling that game tonight. That should be a really great game, too. But yeah, the Mariners have my full attention today.
We just had Greg Rosenthal on not too long ago, and he said that the Seahawks, by his measure, are the best team in the NFC.
Ooh.
Do you believe that?
Alex. Thank you.
Boy, it's hard after watching what the Eagles did yesterday. they kind of get the benefit of the doubt too, because of all of the talent and obviously the what happened last year. I can see why he says that about Seattle, because I think Seattle has a better defense. I think they've got like maybe the best one of the best, probably three best defenses in the NFL. And the offense has been absolutely explosive. I do not love their inability to run the ball, but Philadelphia can't really run the ball either. So they're right there. They're right there in the mix. I did a top five power rankings. People can go check it out at Mina Kimes Show on Instagram. And I had the Seahawks at 5.
Okay.
So it's pretty high.
Well, I guess you don't want to give it all away because you want people to go over and listen to it, which you all should. But is there another little tease that you can give within that top five?
Well, people were pretty surprised. The hilarious thing is three of the top five teams are playing tonight because I had.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can go look and you can try to guess which ones, or you can go look and see. But the boring answer for who I had at number one is the Kansas City Chiefs. This was last week. Yeah. You know, same as it ever was. The offense is just absolutely back to shredding.
We can't escape the Chiefs. They're inevitable. And now it also feels like the Patriots are starting to come back to that as well. But before we go full NFL, I just have two more things on the Mariners. I need to know about the witch and the spells that have been casted. And I need you to tell me about the big dumper.
Oh, my God. So
yes, all of it.
When we were losing, hired an Etsy witch, I'm sure you guys are aware of that phenomena, to basically fix the juju around the team, and then it completely worked, which is insane. Like, the numbers before and after they found the witch are crazy. Mariners fans are really weird, in a good way. It's complimentary. Like, truly the fan base most likely to hire a witch. I don't know. And the big dumper should be the MVP of baseball. It's funny because part of the case, obviously the home runs and the clutch hitting is what stands out. But in the game five, right, that they won, he made an insane double play. And it was just a reminder of like how much he also contributes, being like he's doing all this on top of being one of the best catchers in baseball, too. It's why he's the MVP. But as far as the nickname, you guys know why. I mean, it's apparent every time he turns around. And he loves it. I interviewed him on my show, and he said he was a little nervous, a little apprehensive of the nickname at first, but he's leaned into it.
You know what? You got to lean in. That's always the best advice with anything. Lean into it. It always makes it better. Mina, we talked about the Seattle Seahawks a little bit, but that division is now really, it's really good. And the Rams are emerging as this contender. What's your assessment of what Matthew Stafford was able to do yesterday without Puka and that connection with Devontae?
Yeah, he was awesome. The connection with Devontae, particularly in the red zone, was really important because it's kind of been off all year long. And it just felt like, to me, watching them, their timing wasn't exactly right, but it finally clicked at the perfect time. I was also fascinated. The Rams, their second-round draft pick, Terrence Ferguson, who's a tight end, has barely played this year. But yesterday, they got him on the field, and they got him on the field for the most snaps he's played all season long. I think the reason he hasn't played is his blocking ability, but they leaned into 13 personnel, so they got the other tight ends on the field, so they were able to split him out wide. He made a couple big plays. Sean McVay is really good at this, right? We already knew that. I think if I have a question about the Rams, it's probably the pass defense. So that's a team I would look to potentially be active at the deadline. I think they could use a quarterback.
How do you see that division shaking out?
Man,
we know what the Cardinals
close are.
Yeah, but at the top.
I'm waiting for this Niners thing to fall off, and by the grace of Kyle Shanahan, it doesn't. And they have gotten a little bit healthier in offense, and the run game finally looked like itself. I think if I really had to guess right now, I would still probably go Rams, Seahawks, Niners, but like it is extremely close between all three teams.
All right, so you are in Detroit ahead of this Bucks-Lions game. What are you looking forward to tonight? Have you heard anything on Egbuka's status for the game?
Yeah, that's massive, right? Egbuka, Mike Evans, I think is going to play, but we know that the Bucks have been so banged up in terms of their skill players. I think last week was pretty telling. Speaking of teams that leaned into multiple tight end usage, they went really heavy tight end. I actually think that's a good approach against this Lions defense because you saw the Chiefs go after them that way, basically drawing at their linebackers. I would look for Baker scrambling to be a big factor too. The Lions play a ton of man coverage, and Baker scrambles on one out of every five drop packs against man coverage. Kind of blows my mind. So, you know, I have Detroit in this one, but I think there's things that the Bucks can do on offense to make it close.
Well, we will have to wait and see. Mina Kimes joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. I just love that you were talking about the Etsy witch, and then this is sort of like Blair Witch-y style with you outside in the alley. This is such an effort by you, and I thank you so much for coming on with us in the middle of your workday, in the middle of all of this madness. And I do want to just give a shout out to your husband's family in Philadelphia, because I know that they are real ones. They are. It's the funniest thing ever. That,
oh my God,
that
you know. Yeah, they ask about you first of all. How's Colleen? Like they look at the world through such a Philadelphia lens. So the first thing they do when they see me is, how's Colleen? When are we firing Kevin Petullo? They are truly like the most stereotypical Eagles fans, and I love them for it. But they're in a good mood, thank God, this week.
Right. Okay. So where are you on the Eagles and the offense now that they were able to connect with Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown? That's back.
Hurts was extraordinary in this game. I mean, going back and watching Devontae Smith as a player, I was just going back watching some of his routes. They're just unbelievable. He's such a craftsman, but they still can't run the ball, which is a little concerning. I do think that the defense, you know, they made some timely stops. You got some good performances from the stars, Carter, DeJean, et cetera. And Mitchell being back is huge. But I would really like to see this Eagles offense figure out how to run the ball so it's not too boom and bust in the pass game.
All right. Well, Mina Kimes, I know that you are a busy, busy woman. So I thank you so much for stopping by the show. Good luck to your Mariners tonight.
Yes.
I am wishing you all of the best and have a great show out there in Detroit.
Thanks, guys. Go M's.
Hey, oh, Mina Kimes. I love Mina.
It's so funny. You were asking her about, you know, being on the other side. Oh, what's better than sports in a game seven, right? How about losing game seven in extra innings when a guy who stinks hits a home run? That's awesome. Talking about the Aaron Boone game.
Yeah.
That does stink.
That's cool.
That's why I'm a Dodgers fan now.
At least he's made up for it by being arguably the worst manager in Major League Baseball.
I agree.
Oh, are you okay?
No. I'm actually great because today's the anniversary of Game 7 in New York, 2004. Mike, how'd that go?
Not good.
Why are you so angry today?
Today? Like, today? Brockman is always angry.
I was 48 hours in London.
I thought about the Boone game and it made me sad. And then I thought about Johnny Damon hitting a grand slam in the first innings.
Yeah. Drake May, you're back.
Yeah, we love Ben Affleck. I mean, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Duncan.
Getting back to Mina talking about your Eagles game. Did anyone notice? We haven't talked about how the Vikings tried to stop the brotherly shove. Did you?
Now, I admittedly watched zero of this game.
So there was a player, his name's Tyler Batty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was an undrafted free agent.
And he is a Batty.
And he might be. That's up for you to decide.
No, I mean, in the game, his play.
26-year-old free agent. It was his first time playing in an NFL game. And here's what they used him for, as a human sacrifice to try to stop this brotherly shove. Chris, they laid him down on the ground.
Can you believe this?
In front of the ball. It was like you remember this. It was like Snidely Whiplash when he used to tie girls to the railroad tracks. Like, that's how he was laying there.
Brian Flores. What are we doing?
He just had 2,000 pounds of manhood just like crush him underneath. But yeah, that was the first time he got into an NFL game, and he was sacrificed to try to stop the brotherly
shove. Snaps for Batty.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. Did it work?
No, Chris, it didn't. Breaking his spine is what worked, because everybody landed on top of him.
Mm-hmm. You know what is working?
Did the Eagles illegally false start on this play?
Well, they do every time. You know that. You know how that goes. Yeah. This just saying, Colleen Wolf says Tyler is a baddie. More at 6.
Listen, I did want to, TJ.
Yes, ma'am.
We should talk about the Cowboys.
I've been waiting.
And Dak Prescott is playing so well. And he was playing well before with CeeDee Lamb out. Then CeeDee Lamb returns and George Pickens is still doing well, too. So it's like the two of them together on the field, they can figure it out. They can make it work. And Dak, it's just like, man, if only they had a game-changing generational talent on defense that they could turn things around on that side of the ball.
Oh, I know of a guy. Micah. Yeah, him. He, he was with us, right? We had him. And then we let him go.
Now he's no longer.
And now how many? He had like 12 sacks yesterday.
There's less pie.
You know, Mike's just going to play the
hits, obviously. He had all the sacks yesterday.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
He's not the betting favorite for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, great.
Just awesome. Everything awesome.
Good job, Jerry.
Just wanted to let America's team know that.
It was marvelous.
Marvelous, truly. Yeah. Awesome. We heard from Dak Prescott afterwards what's working with this Cowboys offense?
Yeah, it was great. It was explosive. It was fun. I mean, you saw the big plays. Saw some drives we put together. Our standard and expectations for ourselves is very high. And so we understand we've got guys, the playmakers that we have, the offensive line, the love that we have for one another. And you see it in just the way the guys finish plays, guys cover the ball. And defense played very well tonight. When you do that, I think more of our games are going to look like this.
That's my quarterback right there.
Right there.
Man. Although yesterday on X, I posted a picture of T.O. from his Tony Romo thing.
Okay.
And I just put Brandon Aubrey. That's my kicker, man. Wow. Because, man, he's...
What a leg on him.
Man, he's amazing. Yes. Yes. Well, great gams on Brandon Aubrey.
He does have great gams.
As they would say, yeah.
Gams and bum. Those are two things we just need to bring back.
Bumper. Well, we talked about the big dumper, and we got this.
I like calling people bums.
But also, the thing with Dak, as we know, Chris, he does. He puts up great numbers. His numbers are amazing. But
in the playoffs, he becomes a bum.
Yeah, wow. What a jerk. Yeah. I wasn't going to say it like that. And he really doesn't become a bum, but he gets judged, right? How far he can take a team in the playoffs, what he does in the playoffs. So, unfortunately, nothing he does in the regular season is going to matter to the haters. It's all about what happens in the postseason. So,
look, Dak is awesome, man. He's top five in yards. He's a 16-3 touchdown interception ratio. That's great. He's on a pace for what, like 40 and 6 picks, maybe?
Yeah, but if they can't stop anyone,
if they make it, they're 3-3-1.
Looked better yesterday against a team without Jaden Daniels in there. But,
Jaden Daniels is in there calling most of the guys. Right?
I'm just saying.
Don't be disrespectful now.
Well, they didn't have Terry McLaurin, they didn't have Deebo Samuel, and then Jaden Daniels got hurt. Yeah. So
we didn't have Micah Parsons.
Well, you're never going to.
And you never
have
will Micah again. But Deron Bland.
Oh, yeah, pick six. I got a little hyped about that, camp front.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That everyone in my building kind of knew something was going on down in my apartment when that happened.
Yeah. Is that right?
I mean, just that, yeah.
You know. Them boys.
All right.
Stop.
Well, I am curious about your thoughts on Dak Prescott and where he is in. I want to talk MVP.
Top five.
At some point. And maybe we save that. We're going to also play a little game.
Ooh, I like games.
I do too. I think everyone,
I'm really good at it.
Everyone who works in sports likes games.
Well,
this is
sense.
Not a surprise. We're all super competitive. If we're not playing in a game, we're talking about a game with the same passion as if we were playing in that game.
Facts.
So we're going to play a game,
without
everybody.
The pain that comes
who
with that?
Said that? We're going to take some quotes from the pressers yesterday. And I'm going to see if you guys can guess who said that. After this.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Buying a car can be like a long road trip. There's negotiating prices, lots of fees, and a difficult process. But with an auto loan from Navy Federal, you're on the highway to higher savings. We want our members to save more on their next auto purchase. That's why we offer great rates, military discounts, and pre-approvals that are good for 90 days. Plus, we offer most decisions in seconds. You could even get $200 when you refinance your auto loans from another lender with us. So if you want to save more on your next auto purchase, learn more and apply for an auto loan at NavyFederal.org/autoloans. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Terms and conditions apply for military discounts. Refinance loan must be at least $5,000 to be eligible for the $200. Terms and conditions apply.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And yeah, those robes. I wish I could get my hands on a like red crushed velvet robe.
What is this, velvet?
Like, I actually have this robe. It was my mom's. It's not like a hot robe. It's like an old 70s terry cloth hot robe. But it's the exact color that the Chargers uniform was.
Oh, gosh.
And I used to look at this robe and be like, it's so awesome. It's like a Tarantino yellow. And I would always think of...
Quentin Tarantino?
Yes. Oh. I would always think of like Kill Bill. And right. I would think of like... he always has pops of yellow in all of his movies. He loves it. And now I look at it and I think of the Chargers uniform and it might be ruined forever for me, unfortunately.
Here's what I realized on the group chat yesterday, that I might be the only person in the world who thought those uniforms were kind of cool.
Oh, man.
They have such beautiful other ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think throughout history, and I took a look at this, they might have the greatest set of uniforms from like past to present. I didn't think these were that bad, but I am in the minority, apparently.
I think it's the tone of yellow because it's a little too mustardy.
A little mustardy, yeah.
And the blue would be cool if it was just like, if the yellow was tone. Take the saturation down just a little bit on it, and
maybe
then we might be
pants.
Good.
Who was it?
You know?
Was
maybe.
8 or 9 years ago, it was the ketchup and mustard bowl. Remember the color rush uniforms on Thursday night?
Well,
I remember Bills Jets was the first one, and everyone who was colorblind was like, we don't know what's happening.
But then Rams Bucks a couple weeks later did the ketchup and mustard.
You're right. Yep.
It was rough.
Wow. Yeah, with this league, their throwback uniforms are so beautiful.
Are so good.
I feel like they're gorgeous.
The Eagles, the Patriots, all red.
Kelly Green.
I think we get those
next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
I love the creamsicles, and they finally won in the creamsicles. Yes. I know that was an issue for a while. Gerald McCoy hated when they would wear the creamsicles because they always lost. But I was actually with Gerald McCoy yesterday and Daniel Jeremiah on the coverage for Rams and Jags in London, where you guys just came from.
Hello,
somehow. Yes.
I thought we got past that.
Nah, bro.
No. Well, you know what? We didn't talk about Matthew Stafford and overall MVP conversation, because it was Baker Mayfield that was leading the charge for a while, and now it's starting to even out, I think, with some other quarterbacks around the league. But Matthew Stafford, I don't know where he is in this conversation, but yesterday we brought it up because he's playing so well. He has a career high 17 passing touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. His 109.3 passer rating is awesome. He was leading the league in passing yards. After yesterday, I have to double check if he's still there, but I believe he is. He had a monster game with 5 touchdowns. Where is he in this conversation? And really, is it determined by the results of the team in general and where they go from here if they just continue on this path?
That's usually how it works. Justin Herbert leapfrogged Matt and Dak yesterday. He had over 400 yards. Uh-huh. So he's over 1,900 now. But Dak and Stafford and Patrick are right behind him. Daniel Jones, fifth in passing yards. Let me read you the odds right now.
Okay.
For MVP. Let me tell you what you guys think. Patrick Mahomes is your favorite for MVP. He's plus 175. Josh Allen, plus 350. Baker Mayfield, plus 450. Drake May is 7-1.
Drake May.
And then there's kind of a...
He loves the Drake.
Then there's a gap. Now there's a gap. So those guys are kind of close together.
Okay.
And then it jumps up. Stafford is 12-1.
Where's Indiana Jones at, Chris?
Jared Goff and Daniel Jones are 20-1.
I think that is disrespectful.
So there's a big gap here. And then Jordan Love, for some reason, is still there, 25-1. Lamar hasn't played in a month, and he's 30-1. Dak is 33-1, which is pretty outrageous.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. Who's making these up? These people in the desert?
Wow.
These are some desert people. Yeah.
What they know.
I mean, not much. I definitely think that Dak should be higher on this list. I think that Daniel Jones should be as well.
I'm going to clip that and just play it forever.
Where are you putting Daniel Jones and Dak on this list?
Okay, so we have Mahomes up top with Baker.
With Allen and Baker right Allen behind Baker. Him. And then Drake May is fourth. Those guys are the only ones that have single-digit odds.
I feel like Dak should be right up there with maybe ahead of Drake May.
Cowboys aren't even in the playoffs right now, though. Now, that's fair. And that's where you get into this discussion.
Well, Daniel Jones, but
right, is it most valuable or is it most outstanding? Valuable to me has always equated to winning.
To winning,
right?
That's Daniel Jones right now. I can't believe I'm just saying
Daniel
this,
Jones.
But Daniel Jones gets knocked because of Jonathan Taylor.
It doesn't matter. He's still the quarterback, and this is the quarterback of the year award, as we all know, because like you said, no one else wins. Right. So quarterback of the year, he's 6-1. He's a guy who was taken off a trash heap twice. Oof. And now look at him.
But how many other quarterbacks could be quarterbacking the Colts right now and they'd still be 6-1, 5-2.
I don't know that you can say that.
But why not? That when you think about the award, that's kind of what you're thinking about. Like, look at San Francisco. Brock Purdy gets all the money this year, and Christian McCaffrey is back, and all the injuries, and you'd think that they'd be losing. But no, it's Mac Jones who has won 4 games. So why isn't Mac Jones on the MVP list?
Well, you're in touch with the desert. Why? I guess because he's a backup quarterback.
It's tough to get on the list as a backup quarterback unless you get this team
Mac Jones
into the playoffs. And
is 300-1. He has the same MVP odds as Jackson Dart and Trevor Lawrence and Miles Garrett.
Okay, these are terrible odds. I do not agree at all. He should be a little bit higher than them.
I would imagine he should be higher than everybody, including Aaron Rodgers and Stroud and Caleb Williams. But yeah, he has the backup quarterback stigma, and so he gets thrown to the side.
Well, it's like this was a 1-year trial for Daniel Jones, and the team is 6-1. Like, I'd say that it's working. Whatever is happening,
I would say they're probably the best team in the league.
They are the best team in the league. I feel like there's always a qualifier with Daniel Jones because it's Daniel Jones. Yep. He has to change his name. It's the only answer. He's going to have to. I don't know what to tell him otherwise, because
shorten it to Dan.
Dan. Yeah. Oh, he should do
Dan
that.
Jones. Dan Jones.
You know.
Dan. I go by Dan now.
Let's see what his middle name
is.
Yeah, that would be so awesome. Dan Jones. I was just talking about this in studio the other day, because this many years later, I still cannot figure out if it's Mariota or Mariota, because the pronunciations were drilled into our head to the point where it has now confused me, like a Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod.
And Bijan changing his name every week.
Well, Terrell and Terrell.
Terrell. Yeah.
I can't
that
do it.
That was kind of the first one. He's like, no, I'm Terrell.
Remember, it was Kaden McCardell or McCardell.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there was someone on the Colts, a defender on the Colts, too, that did it.
Lawson. He was Shaq Lawson, or he changed it to Shaq Lawson. Right? Wasn't that what it was?
No.
Shaq Lawson. It was
not
Leonard.
Shaq Lawson. It was.
He became Shaq Leonard.
Shaq Leonard.
Yeah. I know. It's tough. It's tough to remember names. Words are hard as well. So just in general.
By the way, Daniel Jones' middle name is Steven. So does he want to go with Stevie Jones? Steve Jones?
He can't be Steven Jones. Yeah, that's already taken.
There already is a Steven Jones.
Yeah. Well, why don't we suggest Dan to him? Stevie. I think that he
you
might
just
like
change
that.
It to Indiana. Just go for it.
I know. I do like that one. That's so much better than Danny Dimes.
But here's the thing. He is on a one-year deal. What if he signs somewhere else next year and he's stuck with, I name myself Indiana, and now I'm on the Panthers.
Chris,
is Carolina Jones.
I don't think the Colts are going to let him leave if the season keeps going like this.
Oh, they better CTC, TJ.
Yeah.
Callback.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Do you guys want to play a little game? Shall we?
Let's play it.
No, okay. I'm very excited about this. This is a little game we call Who Said That?
Do you know who this is?
Who said that?
Who the hell are you?
Do you know who this is?
Who said that?
Who the hell are you?
That's an amazing drop.
Great job with that. Awesome. Okay,
all right, what's the game? Here we go.
We used to play this game when we had Good Morning Football Weekend that we shot in NFL film. So this is, I'm bringing it back from the archives. This is a super fun one. Basically, we take a quote that happened yesterday and I'm going to read it to you guys. And it's a game between Brockman and TJ.
Let's go.
Not too far. You're hype man.
I'm hanging
here.
Buzzers?
Mike, you can phone a friend. You can be our phone a friend.
You get 3 points if you guess the coach or player correctly. Okay. And then 1 point if you're in the vicinity. If it's the right team, that's 1 point. Okay?
Got a name tag. So
we're gonna ping pong back and forth. So Brockman, you're first.
All right,
okay.
Let's do it.
All right. This quote is,
are you using ping pong to mock me? Is that what this is?
Here we go.
Wow.
We're not losers anymore. Could be so.
Okay. Oh, I know this.
All right, hold on.
I know this one.
This implies
oh,
that
I'm
they
I'm
won yesterday. Ooh, and you just said that. So is it? Ooh, we're not losers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to do with TJ's team?
No.
Well.
No, it doesn't.
We're not.
I don't know.
We're not losers anymore. So they won.
But they were their former losers.
They're former losers.
That's what the quote implies.
Can I steal? Is this
how
this works?
Team over 500? Hold on a second.
I think we should have a timer on this.
We should have a timer. Daniel Jones.
No, that is wrong.
Can I answer? Can I steal an answer?
The answer.
Can I answer?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
That would be the quarterback of Colleen Wolf's favorite football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts.
Well, said that. Let's see.
Why on earth would he say this?
Just the feeling of losing. Simple as that. I know there's a clip where, to confirm, I said that we're not losers anymore. Because coming off the field, because that's all I could think about. That's all I could think about throughout these last 2 weeks.
Brockman is
so confused,
annoyed and confused. He hates this game.
They won the Super Bowl last year. No, and they've been to another one. They've had one of the most successful runs of the 20s. No one thinks that they're losers. This should not count. Well, you should not get points.
They're not losers anymore.
Like
TJ,
Brady used to always say that everyone's against us, like that.
Oh yeah,
everyone was against them.
Okay, TJ, this one's for you.
Yes,
I put that juju in the air and it manifested.
I put that juju in the air and it manifested.
I love this quote. Who could it be?
I put that juju in the air and it, man, who would have said that?
Brockman, you can steal too.
I'm going to steal.
Don't Google it.
I'm looking at just the scores.
This is someone who won, I'm assuming. I don't know. Let me go with...
Go ahead.
Let me go with Jonathan Taylor. I don't know.
That is wrong. Brockman. Give a guess.
Bo Nix.
Nope. Wrong. Let's see. Who
Jackson
said it?
Dart?
No.
They lost.
I told DBS today they throw it to you as much as they throw it to anybody, huh? So it was pretty cool to see. Then he gets an interception and a touchdown. So, put that juju in the air and manifested, and he went and did what DB does.
Wow.
Dak Prescott, your quarterback.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah. That's right. Talking about Deron Rant Bland there, that interception.
Yeah. I'm going to hear about this at the picnic.
Yeah, you are. Brockman.
Let's go.
Ready?
Here we go.
Do I get a sword or something?
Do I get a sword or something? Well, first of all, we did your team first and then TJ's team. So it's got to be my team next. I'm going to say it's Drake May.
That is wrong. Would you like to steal, TJ?
I like where his head's at, though.
Mm-hmm.
Ramondre Stevenson?
That is incorrect. Who said that?
Daniel, how about 5 touchdowns today? The most ever in a Lion game. I don't know if we're going to knight you now.
Do I get a sword or something? Yeah.
5 touchdowns in the international game. What should he get? Maybe a sword.
In my defense, I was somewhere above Kensington, and I didn't even see any of this.
Kensington.
Kensington, London. There's a Kensington, Philadelphia, too, not to be confused.
I was not there, Wolf. Nah.
Let's go.
Often confused.
TJ?
Yes, sir.
We just saved all our good ones for the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's got to be Beauregard Knicks.
Aha, that is correct.
Hey. Saved all our good ones for the fourth quarter, and they worked. We just kept running them, and we found some momentum, and our defense found some stops. We got a huge turnover, and all of a sudden we just got some life back. Thought we could win the game, and so we, kept playing until we won the game.
Okay.
That's usually what happens. You just keep playing until the game ends. But yeah that's how they won.
And I got some whole life insurance if you need a.
Perfect. Well, you want to buy a car?
By my math. And I haven't really been paying attention to the math part because I usually don't. It's 6 zip TJ.
Yikes. I need a bonus. Okay. Comeback here.
Come on.
Yeah. Maybe we do. This is like worth double or something.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, come on.
The double one.
Brockman. I should have had some sleeves on back then.
Sleeves on. So who had sleeves off? Are we talking about fumbling? Ugh, gosh. Wish on Judkins.
Wrong. TJ?
All right. I should have had. So this tells me that this is an older player. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but Aaron Rodgers?
Wrong. Play it. Who said that?
I went back and I looked at it. He had a highlight video and I was in it. And I looked a lot younger and I didn't have sleeves and probably shouldn't have had some sleeves on back then, but congratulations and thanks for covering us in this town for as long as you have.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
So I was right about him being older.
Mike Rabel congratulating Pats reporter Dan Roach on covering the team for 25 years. We do have one more. Do we have time to do that? Here we go. TJ.
Yes.
I thought I was going to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. So sorry, fantasy coaches and anyone that bet on me.
Saquon Barkley?
No. Brockman.
Triple or nothing?
Triple or nothing.
It's my man. No contest wrestling guest today. George Kittle.
Oh, you got it right.
Personally, I thought with the game plan based on the walkthrough yesterday, I thought I was going to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. So sorry, fantasy coaches and anybody that bet on me. My bad. Blame Kyle Shanahan, not me.
Yeah, okay. I thought that too, George.
You did it. Oh, you have Kittle?
Yeah.
That sucks.
He can't win. He got one right. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, it's like on Family Feud.
Value.
Family Feud rules.
That's bull. So, this is Bush League.
9-6, Brockman wins.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Thank you, Mike Tomlin.
And that was who said that. Thanks for playing, everybody.
The real ones know I dominated this game.
You did get 2 correct. Congratulations. And you didn't get Dak Prescott.
Don't matter.
Well, you did get Jalen Hurts. Someone was paying attention to the Eagles, and I guess it was you.
Blah.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Well, we've talked about a ton of different teams today. And what we saw yesterday, the historic Broncos comeback, or however you want to frame it, the historic Giants collapse. We saw Drake May.
Drake?
I mean, just, he ended up, I think, smashing some of Tom Brady's records. He became the first player in the Super Bowl era to complete over 90% of his passes with more than 200 yards and over 50 rushing yards. I mean, okay, that's great. But also the fact that Mike Rabel wins against his old team. I like the revenge. I'm very petty. I like anything that has like a petty edge to it. Also, Stafford setting records in London and turning back the hands of time with Devontae Adams.
Shout out to Cher.
Yes. Tua being benched in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins are a mess. Everything is unraveling. The Jets are also a mess and everything is always unraveling. They fall to 0-7. But the Chiefs shutting out the Raiders was one that we haven't really touched on, this Chiefs offense and this Chiefs team in general, because like I said before, they are inevitable, it seems. And they started off the season so sluggish, 0-2, and then they've won four of their last five games, and they had Xavier Worthy come back, Rashee Rice. They maintained the defense the entire time, and now we're seeing this offense be just as explosive as we're used to seeing in the past, and they have their wide receiver depth, which is something that they just did not have to start the year. Their scoring is up, and that's what happens when you have pass catchers that are healthy. So where are you guys on the Chiefs? Is it like, yeah, this is no problem, they're going to do what they always do, they're and back. Figure it out? Yeah. It's annoying, right?
I picked them at the beginning of the season to go to the Super Bowl and got absolutely destroyed online. And yet, I don't know. Good luck. Brockman said what you say earlier about your division, if they hadn't gotten it by now, it's over because Drake May is going to take over. Mm-hmm. If you didn't get the Chiefs early, I don't know if you're going to get them late this year.
Because people were getting them early, and they kind of looked like the same old Chiefs from the last couple of years in terms of the offensive side of the ball. You know, in the last few seasons, they've only been a team that scored in the low 20s, and that's who they were. No explosive pass game. Nope. They were kind of
no run game.
Not a great run game to speak of. It was all defense. It was kind of dink and dunking, and it was just kind of finding a way to win. It was kind of, you know, gutting it out the way champions do. And then in the last few weeks, they've scored, what, 37, 28, mm-hmm. 30, 31. So now the offense is back. The explosive plays are back. We see the immediate connection with Rashee Rice. Look, while I'm sure he'd admit he's lost a step. Once a game, Travis Kelce gets like a 40-yard reception. Yeah. And it's like, how does he get lost in your defensive scheme like that? You've seen 87 been doing this for a long time. Xavier Worthy's doing his thing.
Hollywood Brown,
Isaiah Pacheco is back to looking like his, you know, early start to his career. And it feels like this is a team that we're going to see them on championship weekend, and they're going to have, you know, it'd be a 1-4 chance of them to go to the Super Bowl and maybe win it again. It seems like they're back.
So par for the course when it comes to this team.
Yeah, over the last few seasons, yeah.
It's true, but I'm wondering about the Colts. And if they are the best team in the NFL, just judging by their record, how they would match up with the Chiefs. And they actually are playing each other this year. So we get a little preview of what could potentially be a playoff game. That's coming up November 23rd.
What I like about the Colts, too, is they are just an offensive wagon. So if you play against them, it's, can you keep up? Yeah. Can you keep up scoring? Can you get into a track meet and run with this team? But when I think about the Chiefs, they're the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. And if you go to every other AFC contender and you say they're playing each other, who are you betting on?
Yeah. I mean,
that's the bottom line.
I'm going to take the Chiefs because it's proven. But like the newness of this Colts team and their success, they can play keep away with the ball and Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
And that is.
That could be
the
an
secret.
X factor. Yeah.
Sure. I kind of do like that matchup a little bit and like run out the clock and really just win that time of possession. Then obviously like the Colts defense has been pretty strong and they're forcing a lot of turnovers too. So
no doubt
Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't give the ball away a lot, but I'm really excited about that game.
Yeah. Just look at so the Chiefs are eighth in the playoffs right now. So just go to every other team ahead of them. Yes. Jacksonville did beat them a couple weeks ago, but you're really going to take Jacksonville over this KC team? What about the Chargers? They're kind of reeling right now. Buffalo, it just seems like it's the one man Allen show along with James Cook, right? The Steelers, they're not doing it for me. What about Denver? They're going to score 30 points in the fourth quarter at Arrowhead? Probably not. New England, still a year or two away, even though Drake May can kind of carry this team without a lot of stars around him. So maybe it does come down to Indy and Kansas City for the AFC. you know, in January. That'd be kind of fun.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just something new. A little different, maybe. Let's spice different. Things up a bit.
And I also said about two weeks ago, it's kind of cool that after, you know, and again, I said this that time too, not cool after Mr. Irsay passed, but the way his daughters have taken over the team and look at what they're doing right now, kind of silencing a lot of people who had some stuff to say when they'd see them on the sidelines. But now look at them. They're 6-1, and we're talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. Like,
TJ knows his audience. He knows that I'm going to be like, yes, look at what is going on in Indy. Look at his daughters go. But it is true.
Yeah.
And the results speak for themselves. Yep. So the Colts right now are a really fun watch. It is great. I wish every single team was able to play up to their potential, truly, because then it would just be way more interesting. It's nice that Kansas City, their offensive line is protecting Patrick Mahomes a little bit better now as well. So if we are going to be dealing with Patrick Mahomes through the long haul of the season, then, you know, I want a healthy one. All right. I want everyone to win as best they can. That's it, guys. This has been very fun. Thanks for hanging out. That's it. We're done. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.